welcome to your Book Garden Radio, a copyrighted show presented by Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. It's one of those days that started out in the mid-30s, but is spiraling up into the lower 60s. Just a beautiful spring day here in northwestern Wisconsin. And after yesterday's rain, things are starting to green up, and you can just see the buds on the trees just waiting to burst open and scream, "Here we are, winter is over." Today I am welcoming best-selling author Raeanne Thane to my show. She's a number one Publishers Weekly, New York Times, and USA Today best-selling author. She finds inspiration in the beautiful northern Utah mountains where she lives with her family. Her books have won numerous honors, including 7 Rita Award nominations for Romance Writers of America and a Career Achievement Award from RT Book Reviews magazine. And anyone who doesn't know, Rita is like the Oscars of romance writing. So to be nominated is an amazing achievement. Raeanne and I met last year at the Romance Writers of America convention in Denver, Colorado. And as you're listening to the show, you will see a picture of her and I together, and you can see all her little pins from being nominated for the Rita, which is, I mean, I would be thrilled if I was nominated for 1. 7 is amazing. And I'd have to say that she does not look old enough to have a Career Achievement Award. So, welcome, Raeanne. Well, I read that and went, no.
Well, the funny thing is I got that Career Achievement after only having like 20 books, I think, in the business, and now I'm up to like 60-something. And so it was very early in my career that they gave me that Career Achievement Award, but that was still an honor, a great honor. So thank you.
Yes.
I'm delighted to be here. It's beautiful here in northern Utah, too. That everything is so green, and yet the mountains are still covered in snow. So you get that stunning contrast of snow and green, and it's just spectacular time of year here in Utah.
I can't. Is that in your backyard, the mountains then? Your front yard?
I'm looking at them right out my window, out my office window. I can see there's houses, but then above that I can see the mountains. But I walk in the mountains just about every day, and you know, all around me, it's wonderful to see it coming to life. Because just a week ago, it seemed like everything was still brown, and the trees still weren't, just like you were talking about, the trees still weren't budding, but now they're starting to. And I've seen a few wildflowers coming out in the mountains up there where I walk, and it's really turning gorgeous. We have about, you know, I live in a pretty dry state. Utah's fairly dry, even here where we have mountains, not the red desert that a lot of people think about with Utah and our national parks. But we get pretty dry after about mid-June, and things start to turn brown instead of green. So for 2 months, we get this glorious time where it's spectacular outside.
Yeah, it's just so interesting to hear what other people, you know, what their weather is like. I tend to talk about it at, you know, at the beginning of each show, but it's always so interesting to know, you know, like somebody in Florida already has ripe tomatoes, and we're not even thinking about planting tomatoes.
Right. Tomatoes are way away for us. We still have hard freezes for another. Usually it's the end of May before we're done with hard freezes here.
Yeah. They always say Memorial Day weekend is a good time to plant. I mean, there was frost on things this morning, so, and our back deck was a little slippery. I had to be a little careful this morning when I was putting the bird feeders out. So, and as we were talking earlier before the show went on the air, my husband and I are going to be visiting Utah in the fall to take in the national parks. So, you know, maybe if there's some way we can get together or something, that would be so cool. So, and besides, you know, living in Utah, what else can you tell us about yourself?
Let's see. I have been writing for a long time, as you talked about. I've been around forever. I sold my first book in 95, I mean, and it came out in 96. And I'm working on, like, I think my 62nd, 63rd, something like that. I have two children. Our oldest is, I started actually writing when I was on maternity leave with her. I used to work in newspapers. I was a reporter and editor, and I was pregnant with her and decided, well, while I'm home on maternity leave, I'm going to write a book because I've got this newborn with who doesn't, you know, they sleep. There's no need to, you know, stress about that. I have plenty of time to write. So, of course, I was telling myself because I have no idea what it was like to have a baby. But I still did manage to write my first book, at least start my first book, when I was on maternity leave with her. She's 28 now, so that tells you how long I've been doing this. And then we have a son who's 22 with special needs, and then we have a 16-year-old who just got his driver's license last week, so a whole new world of fun having our youngest with his driver's license. Let's see, what else can I tell you about myself? I love living in Utah. I love the outdoors. I love walking out in the outdoors. I love, we talked earlier about national parks, and that's sort of one of the things that my family and I love to do is hit the national parks. We go to Yellowstone. It's not very far from us. It's maybe four hours. You could be at the west entrance. 3.5 to 4 hours, you could be at the west entrance of Yellowstone, which is great. I love where I live. It's a beautiful place. And then in another 4.5 hours, I can be in Moab, which is close to where some of the national parks in Utah are. So we're kind of centrally located to see some spectacular territory.
I can't wait to go out there. I just, we've been to just the one, which one did I decide it was?
Zion National Park, I think, is
Zion. Yeah, and we walked the river, and that was just, I mean, you're walking the river and you're looking at these, I mean, you're in the bottom of the canyon and you're just, it's just amazing. You can't even describe how high, you know, the mountain is, or the, you know, it was pretty amazing
because it's just very, for those who've never been in the Slot Canyon, it's just a very thin area where you're walking, and on either side of you, you know, you've got mountains that go as far as you can see, and it's a really spectacular experience to be in Slot Canyons. We really love that area. I was actually just down at Zion a couple weeks ago for spring break with my kids, and we had a great time. You know, we have a son in a wheelchair, so we couldn't really do and actually at that time the water was too high. They weren't letting people walk on that trail, the Narrows Trail, is what they call it, and they weren't letting people because the water's too high. So there's real danger of flash flooding in those canyons because there's nowhere for the water to go except down those canyons, and it can get really high. If there's a rainstorm upstream, and so if there's any kind of storm in the summer, they just say, nope, can't do it today. So that's something that's on my bucket list. I've never done the Narrows Trail. I'd like to someday.
Well, we were lucky enough before we were going to go into the canyon, into the river, some people were coming out and they handed us their walking sticks because people just leave them behind. And, you know, you need it because you have to poke in front of you to make sure you're not going to step in a hole between the rocks or, it's not something that you really, you know, do a fast trek, you know, you just take your time, and which is good because then you get to see everything. And you have 63, 64 books, which is amazing. How many of them are set in are they all set in Utah? Or I've only read a couple of them, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
Thank you. Very few. I think I did one series early on that was kind of a romantic suspense series that ended up, I mean, I think there were maybe 4 or 5 that were in Utah. It kind of makes me laugh with those two because they're set in Park City area, which is a ski resort, like Aspen sort of. And yet when they do covers for them, they always put the Red Rocks of Southern Utah, which is like totally not what the terrain is there, but that's okay. So I did a few early on. A lot of them, I did a big series that's in Southern Idaho, sort of on the western slope of the Tetons, because that's only 2 or 3 hours away from where I live. And I've done another one. I had my current series, ongoing series for HQN is called Haven Point, and I'm on the last few books of that series, but it's like a fictitious town near Boise, so it's in Idaho, which is, you know, maybe 5 hours from where I live. So they are all set in the West, I would say, venture to say most of them. Maybe there's been a few outliers here and there that I've done elsewhere. I think I did one in Texas once for a continuity for a series that I was a part of, but for the most part, I'd say Colorado, Idaho, a few in Utah. I've done one on the Oregon coast. And then my new book, The Cliff House, which is my first hardcover, I set in a fictitious town in Northern California. I wanted a beach community, but not like a super touristy area. And so I kind of picked remote Northern California. But, so I made up a town. I kind of combined like Monterey, which I love, that area of California, and with places on the Oregon coast that I love, and kind of made my own mishmash of places and called it Cape Sanctuary on the Northern California.
Well, and you do such a good job, you know, describing where we are, where the reader is. And, you know, I felt like, you know, I want to go there. I want to live there. I want to be on the cottage on Silver Beach. You know, that's when you're Haven Point ones, you know, it's
yeah,
like, oh, I want to. When you were talking about your series, I mean, you have seven series, Home in Whiskey Creek, Outlaw Hearts, Searchers, Cowboys of Cold Creek, Hope's Crossing, Haven Point, and Women of Brambleberry House. That's a lot of plots,
right?
And a lot of characters.
Well,
how do you
here's
keep
the thing. Most of those started out as, in fact, many of them still are, just trilogies. I started out just thinking I need to just write a trilogy, and that's where it started. Like, my Cowboys of Cold Creek book started out with three books about three brothers, and that was going to be the series. That was it. And then after I built this world, and readers responded to it so favorably, I ended up branching out into other people who live around them. And so they are series. All of my books are, let me backtrack a little bit. All of my books, I like to write in series just because for the reader, they like to be connected to the previous books. They like not having to say goodbye to those characters forever once the book is done, and having the idea that they might be able to revisit them. I like that as well, because once I've spent, you know, three or four months in my character's head, it's hard for me to say, I'm never going to visit these people again, goodbye, you know, close the book and be done, you know. And so I like the idea that I can maybe visit them again at some point. And so a lot of my books, you know, as I think, started out just as a short series, and then sort of expanded from there as I decided there were other stories I wanted to tell. Really right now, the only ones I have actively going, I have the Haven Point series, which, as I said, I'm winding that down. I have one book in that series that I just finished that will come out at Christmas time. It's called, I have to think, they've changed the title like three or four times. Oh, Coming Home for Christmas is the title of that one. And then I'll have one more after that that I'll be writing as soon as I finish the book I'm working on right now. And then I'm going to probably spin off into another series, just because once the series gets too big, it gets unwieldy, and it's hard for readers to jump in and figure out, you know, who are these people? I don't know who they are, and I don't want to start at book one when there's 12 books in a series, you know. And so I like to keep my books, if I'm going to write a series, I like it to be, you know, 7, 8, maybe that's the maximum. But happened to be with Haven Point, I couldn't quite stop myself. I got going and liked the series so much that I just kept going and had more stories to tell. And I could stay there forever, but I think it's time to move on. So anyway, and it really does. Sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh no, you're probably going to say, but what my question was going to be or was. So go ahead, continue.
You know, and when, as far as the plot goes, plotting them, it's easy to plot three books together. You know, it's plotting much more than that ends up, you know, it kind of can get unwieldy. And so I tend to plot three books at a time if they are connected. And so even in the books that are big, like my Cowboys of Cold Creek series, which did, as I said, started out with three books, there are really like four different mini series inside of that overarching series. So I took one family and wrote three books about that family, and I took a different family and wrote three books about that family. So
that to me is
a lot more manageable than saying I'm going to write, you know, 11, 12 books in this universe. Yes, that's true. I did that, but really it's multiple small mini series within the larger umbrella of the Cowboys of Cold Creek series.
Yeah, that makes sense. And what I like is when I'm reading a book and, you know, I don't really know if there's another book to follow or whatever, and all of a sudden there's a character and it's like, ha-ha, is that going to be the next book? You know, I hope it's the next book. So, well, let me ask you this.
Very,
I know
very
it,
often. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, very often I have figured out before I finish one book what the next story is going to be, and so I will purposely plant those little seeds in the story so that readers will say, oh, I need to find out this next book, you know. Although that can backfire, because I wrote one if you read The Cottages of Silver Beach, you know that there's a mystery at the end of that one that kind of gets solved in a little bit of a way, and I have so much mail from people asking me when I'm going to write the book about Luke, who is the brother of the heroine and his heroine, who haven't read that book because I don't want to give it away. But I have fan mail every day from people wanting to know when that book is going to be out, and it's coming. That's what my Christmas book is, coming home for Christmas.
It can backfire
to plant too many seeds, because then the readers are like, when is this? I can't wait. I need to have this right now. And I can only write so fast, unfortunately. So I can't always give them what they need when they want it.
Because that would have been my question, too. You know, and when I read him, I'm like, oh, he's got to be the next one. So now we know. Well, you know, I know how I keep track of my characters, because once you've written so many books, it's like, you know, especially not using the same character names. I found at one point that every one of my boy children in my stories was named Tommy. And it's like, no, wait a minute, you know. So I use an Excel spreadsheet. How do you keep, 63 books, how do you keep track of all those characters and how they're related, and what's your strategy?
So for every series, I have a Bible for that series, which is the word that I use in the publishing world for basically it's just the overarching guide to what's going to go on in that particular series. And so I keep one for each series, and then I also have one for each book. I know that I referred to a character in a previous book in the series, but I can't remember what that character's name is. I can go back and look at that book's Bible, where I try to write down every single name that appeared. I'm not always as great at that as I should be. I did three books set on the Oregon coast called The Women of Brambleberry House, and I was going to end it there, just with three books. I had moved on to The Cowboys of Cold Creek by that point, but I recently needed to come up with another idea for another special edition, and so ended up thinking, I want to go back to Brambleberry House. After my publisher had repackaged those books and republished them, there was a lot of reader support for them, and they loved them. And I decided I want to write another book, another series. But it was like 12 years ago that I wrote those books. I didn't remember everything that had happened. And so I quickly read through them, but I had to have one of my assistants had to go through and write down every single name that I used, every eye color that I referred to, I said just anything you can think of that I might need to know, go and write that down, because I didn't keep the Bible as efficiently as I should have for that particular book or that particular series. So that was really helpful to have her do that. Or the other fun thing is, if I get stuck in something and I can't remember like a character's name, I ask my readers and give a contest on Facebook and say, hey, I can't remember the name of the mother of these people. If you can find it for me, I'll pick someone to get a free book or something like that. And
oh,
my readers,
that's
you know,
funny.
For like, you know, crowdsourcing the information that I need. My readers
kind of
have
a clever
memory, I tell you.
that's very clever. I like that. I mean, I'm looking at, you know, your Cowboys of Cold Creek, and you know, I'm looking at your website, and there's what, 9, 13? 13?
I think
16.
I think by the time I was done, I had 16 in that series.
16.
Yeah. But again, so there was the original three. Then I did a couple of standalones in that world, and then I did like maybe three different series of three books each. So it seems overwhelming, but when I break it down to readers and say, hey, look, you don't need to read them all, but if you want to read some in order, read these three in order, then you could skip and read these three if you want, and then these three. And so it does seem overwhelming, but again, that's why I said I'm done with The Cowboys of Cold Creek, because I can't, it's too hard for readers to jump in and not know what's going on, you know. And I guess that's one thing with most of my books are standalone, even though if they are part of a series, they're connected mostly by geography. There have been very few that you had to read one to know what was going to happen in the next one, you know. But I know how readers are. They don't want to know who the couple is if they're going to read about them. You know, they don't want to read book two if book one has already happened and they don't know who that couple is going to end up being. And I totally understand that, but...
I kind of like that because then, well, for me, then it's like, well, no, I have to read book one, you know.
Yeah.
I need to know who that couple is, so I'll go and I'll buy book one. I'm sorry.
Right. I hear that from quite a few readers that they won't read them unless they're in order, and they have like the first one. They won't read any of them unless they have the first book one first.
Yeah. Let's see. What was your favorite series to write? Did you have a favorite or
favorite series to write? I always say it's the one I'm working on right now, which I have loved. The Haven Point series has been really wonderful for me. I really loved my Hope's Crossing series, which was my first single title series. So for listeners who maybe don't know, there's the category romances. And then the single title romances. And I did many of those 62 books in my career were category romances, which are like the Harlequins that come out of a certain line. And I wrote a lot of books for special edition. I wrote some romantic suspense for Intimate Moments. And then I decided after I've done quite a few special editions that I really wanted to try standalone, write my own contemporary romance series. And so that Hope's Crossing was the very first one there. And again, that was one where I started out with three books. I knew the three books. And then they kind of surprised everyone by how well they sold. And so I decided I ended up writing four more in that same universe, mostly about one particular family that lived in that world. And then I spun that off into my Haven Point series. So the two are really kind of closely connected in that there are some characters that pop in and out. But so really, as far as picking favorite series, I don't think I could do that just because whatever book I'm working on right now is a series I like.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be starting a new series, and I'm sure I'll love that one as much as I love the other ones. It was a really interesting experience for me to write The Cliff House, which is, as I said, my first hardcover, because that is a totally standalone book, but it has three storylines in it. And so while it is one book, I was able to kind of capture three different stories in one book. And so it was a unique experience. The idea that I probably wouldn't revisit these particular characters again. It turned out that I'm writing another hardcover that might be in the same town, although the other characters likely, if they show up at all, it'll just be like a line or two here and there. But that's just kind of the way things worked out.
Yeah. And I'm, As we're talking, I'm looking at, you know, at your website. Your covers are just gorgeous. I mean, whoever designs your covers, they are just so pretty.
They are.
You know?
They are beautiful.
They are.
And I think that they really set the tone for the stories. I think they're very good at sort of conveying what readers can expect when they pick up the book. You know, that it's going to be a sweet. My books are sort of sweet, small town. Somebody described them once as comfort reads, and I love that description because that's what I hope readers get, that they come away, they close it and say, you know, I feel good about the world, a little better about the world. There's nice people in this book, and maybe there's nice people in the world, you know. There's not a lot of viciousness and mean-spiritedness. My books are about people learning to care about each other, and I hope that comes across in the covers. I think they do a really, really good job of encapsulating what the story's about by the covers that they do.
You know, a comfort book, that's a very good way to, yeah, I like that. I like that. Tell us a little bit about the Cliff House. Because that's your newest one,
okay,
and that one just came out in hardcover, which is pretty amazing, exciting.
Yeah, it was really exciting. It's been a fun experience. It's a little different than paperback, and so I've had to sort of, you know, readjust how I do things, just that it's a whole different, I guess, readership in hardcover. So it is a standalone story about two women and their aunt, and the aunt is only 40, so the women are, you know, in their late 20s, early 30s, and their aunt's only 10 years older than them. And when they were young, like 10 and 12, their mother died, and they had sort of had a really crazy upbringing where she was, you know, very much out of the norm of life and not conservative in the way that she raised them, and they didn't really have a home and things. And so when their mother died, their aunt, who was young at the time, knew that she needed to step up and raise them. And so she had just graduated as a teacher, and so she was this new young teacher, and she took these girls into this little town in California where she had actually been in foster care herself, and brought them up there. And so now fast forward 20 years, and one of them is divorced, and her ex-husband comes back to town and wants to reunite. And he's actually a sexy rocker guy, pop star that everybody knows and loves. And he brings sort of this entourage, and one of the people in the entourage starts wooing the older sister, and it's just, there's three different kind of romances involved, but it's really about the sister's relationship and their relationship with their aunt. And also the aunt is sort of at a crossroads in her life now that she's turning 40, and she decides that she wants to have her own family. She's raised her daughters, she's raised other children in foster care, but she wants to have a baby of her own. So it's sort of her journey that way. And it was lots of fun to create these three different women and to kind of tell their different stories and how their lives intersect and the different choices that they've made that have led them in different directions, but still coming back in this little town in California.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed it. It was, and I even, you know, the rocker guy, the ex husband. I was kind of like, do I like him or don't I like him? Do I like him or don't I like him? Is he a jerk? Is he a good guy? You know, it was kind of going back and forth. But
I couldn't make him too big of a jerk because she'd married him, and I always have a hard time with, you know, ex-husbands, because I always think they can't be terrible or else my heroines wouldn't have married them in the first place. So they can't be completely terrible, you know, because I just think, you know, unless my heroine was crazy at the time, you know, why would she marry somebody that was totally a loser? And so he's not, he's actually very sweet in a lot of ways. He's very misguided in a lot of ways. And sorry, someone's car alarm outside is going off. He's misguided in a lot of ways. And so I didn't want to leave him also at the end without its own possible happy ending. So I sort of set that up as that he's got a possible happy ending. But anyway, I had fun with his story. I had fun writing. I'd never done a rocker kind of guy, a famous pop star. I'm trying to think I've done people who are kind of in the media for other reasons, but I've never done anybody like that who is an artist in his own way, and so that was a lot of fun.
And you know, and the fact that he obviously loves his daughter, I mean, that's always a worthy, you know, kind of thing where he wants to be part of her life. And I just got the 90-second warning here that we're almost at the end. It's always amazing how quickly that time goes. We kind of talked about what's next for you. The Coming Home for Christmas out in November, probably?
The end of September, actually. September, I think, 25th. Okay. And I actually just barely, 2 minutes ago, got the cover from my editor, and it is spectacular. So I'm excited to be able to put that online and let readers see that. Beautiful cover.
Well,
and
where can
an Elizabeth story.
Okay. And where can our listeners find you?
So I am on Facebook at author Rayanne Thane. Look for me there. I have a website, rayannethane.com. I have a newsletter if they're interested in subscribing to my newsletter that I don't send out a million times, but when I have a book out, I usually have one every couple of weeks, be right before and right after. So they won't get spammed by me, but they'll get information about when I have new releases. I'm on Twitter. I'm not super active there. I'm on Instagram.
Oh,
I'm again not super active there. But.
Well, we are out of time. Thank you so much, and I hope I can see you in Utah.
Yeah,
and joining me for No, not this year. I can't make it. So.
Okay.
Oh, looks like our time is up. I'm sorry.
join me
on May 14th.
Wonderful. All right. Thank you.
Bye.